This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. So this is a special Dallas Isn't Dead episode. We'll be touching base on how things went in the series back in Dallas, and then we'll take a look at tonight's gauntlet in Boston. And who better to do that with than the Luca Whisperer himself, the doctor who knows that we all have a fever and the only prescription is more Luca. How are you doing, sir? And what do you think of my proposal for an aggregate total?
Well, you mean I'm kind of dumb. Do you mean that the Mavericks have scored more points in the series than the Celtics have?
You know what? This is actually true, believe it or not. The Dallas Mavericks, I believe, are like plus +8 or something over Boston, right? And after the 122-84 whooping
the other day.
What do you think? Is that would that work? You could have a game 8, possibly.
You're gonna have a game sure. Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck. I don't know. Good luck more with money. That campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. It is more money.
It's more money for everybody involved. And then Boston just couldn't win the way that they've won so far. And then maybe we have a shot with Dallas.
Well, and you know, this that was the Dallas team I thought we would see in one or two of the first three games, and it just wasn't there. And people are asking me, like, dude, what happened? Like, how did a team that's down 3-0 have that big of a win that easily? And I don't really have an answer, man. I think Boston kind of played like crap and Dallas played really well. Luka wasn't even hitting threes. And we've had a Tim Hardaway sighting, which to me is very interesting because that guy has been on a milk carton for the last 2 or 3 months. And ever since the trade, really. And then we're also looking at the real possibility of Jrue Holiday being the MVP of this series, which I don't know. You may have had all these topics down to talk about at some point, so I'll shut up now. But what a game. What a game four that was. And now we get game 5 in Boston, game 6 back in Dallas, if necessary. And then setting up for a potential game 7 in Boston, although no team has ever lost after being up 3-0. And I really don't expect Dallas to change that this year, but I'm hopeful that they will.
Yeah, I was just watching that game at a restaurant / bar, and I just kind of laughed the entire time. And they came up to me and asked me if I didn't mind if the TV got turned off so the owner's son could sing for his band, and I just didn't care because I knew this game was over in the first quarter. So, yeah, that was a matchup we'll definitely get into here. But before we do that, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Get every stat, matchup, and even get live odds while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. BetOnline, the game starts here. Tomorrow, we're going to have the Phoenix Suns in our crosshairs for our season in review. And remember to check out all of those very juicy team reviews going on by our most excellent staff, and those are all for fantasy pass holders, NBA fantasy pass holders, so check that out. So I guess let's go back in time, if you don't mind, and I knew that we'd have to talk about this stuff, and I don't want you to think, Doc, that Luka's not my guy. I'm a big Luka Doncic fan right now. I even with the stuff going on, you know, going down 3-0, and game three definitely wasn't his best moment. We were talking beforehand. How much do you attribute his play to the chest injury, and where do you go from there? Like, how injured is this guy?
I don't know. I haven't examined him, but it feels like, I mean, he's wrapped up like a mummy. By the way, now that you bring that up, the spelling of Dr. A on Twitter and in my email and everywhere else is D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, which is supposed to say Dr. A, but it really says like Doctora, which is a female nurse or something. I took what I could get because, Dr. A was already taken. Sort of like when if you're trying to get a personalized license plate, sometimes you have to get creative because the one you want is already gone. Is that what they did with the code word believe, being BLEAV?
Honestly, I think it's all about trademarking these days. I think because we did this, you know, for Sports Ethos, it's a pretty rough procedure because like every name in almost the history of mankind, it feels like, for everything has been taken. And that's why you get all these weird things out there, like all these drugs, you know, that you see on TV and they're these just weird words. I think that's all trademarking. And I'm pretty sure believe is that. Yeah, no, maybe it's believe. I'll have to ask Braun, the head guy, and see what he's thinking. Maybe they just believe in. You got to believe, man.
Well, that's how I take it. I take it as you got to believe. And every time you do that promo, I want so bad to ask a question about believe, and it never really opened itself
as
an opportunity until I took and ran with it today. Back to your question, though. Dude was wrapped up like a mummy and says he's hurt. And I mean, Luka's always banged up, right? Like, for all 5 years, he's always playing through some nagging injury. And I don't know, the fact he had to take pain-killing injections before games 3 and 4 tells me that he was hurt and he had to just, you know, rub some dirt on it and get out there and play. And I, you know, the difference between his defense and really Dallas's entire defense between game 3 and 4 was kind of eye-opening. And, you know, I don't know how much of that was Brian Windhorst destroying Luka on ESPN. And then, you know, he saw that. He probably watched it a couple of times. All his boys saw it. And they're like, you going to take that, man? Or are you going to go out there and show him? So I think that was a motivating factor. But I mean, the bottom line is I think Luka is hurt. And if he wasn't really hurt, he would not be taking injections to be able to play in these games.
Well, yeah, I mean, the injections definitely affect mobility and to kind of spin around and approach something else you were talking about there. So Jason Kidd said that he got into Luka as well after game 3. I mean, this was a defining game. The game 3 stuff, okay, so yeah, injured, I believe that. And I also wonder if Luka is like bordering on Anthony Davis territory in games when he takes on some kind of injury. He doesn't leave the game like Anthony Davis. But it feels like every game I've ever watched Luka Doncic play he has about 2 or 3 dings in the game, and it's like an ankle or a knee, and everybody's like, wow, okay, that looked bad or whatever. And then he kind of walks and he looks like an old man, and then he kind of just shakes it off and he's normal. And I never know what to think of each particular injury because I don't see, you know, a substantial difference in his play. And I always go, man, that guy's going to break down at a really young age if he keeps going like this. And so I just have this kind of fuzzy, not really sure if he's like how injured he is. It's clear he is injured, but just, is he a guy that kind of just takes a lot of that stuff and just keeps trucking? So that was part of it. But then there was stuff, and I had a couple Twitter followers that were kind of getting on me for being kind of anti-Luka, and it made me think of you, Steve. And I thought about, like, look, Luka can do two. There could be two things that are true at once. One is Luka in Game 3 still making incredible plays, still carrying the Dallas Mavericks, still doing all of those things. But I think I counted like 20 plays where you just go, oh, man, especially if you're a Dallas backer, like, it felt like he was losing the intangibles game. It felt like he let the, I mean, well, let's be real. He let the refs get in his head all the way. Bad fouls, fouls out early. You know, the stuff where he was trying to draw fouls on three-pointers and then they were going back down the other side. One of them wasn't his fault. It was a bad rotation by Dante Exum. But it was like, how many momentum, you know, back-breaking kinds of things can happen? And some of them were effort. And so where are you with that with Luka? Do you think he had that proverbial moment and this was a big learning moment for his career? Do you think it's being overdone? Or where are you at with that aspect of his game three?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I mean, I think there's several things that happened in Game 3 that probably resulted in things that Luka needed to hear. Like, I mean, even those of us who are huge Luka supporters still cannot stand watching him complain after every shot. I mean, it's kind of pathetic, really. And so many people who are not Luka, big Luka people, especially here in Atlanta, everybody's mad that the Hawks didn't get him, and everybody wants Trae Young to be better than Luka, which is never going to happen. But, you know, one of their defense mechanisms is, well, at least Trae's not out there crying after every play. Man, I can't stand to watch Luka because every play he cries. And I think that carries over to how you're treated by the refs and why you're not getting the and-one calls that you should be getting, because, you know, every Mavericks game I watch, which is all of them, there's a play where he should have been given an and-one and he's not. They always call it on the floor, and it just makes him so mad. But the refs are like, see, if you stop getting mad all the time, maybe you get some of those. So I think that, for one, is something you need to hear. Two, sometimes I think he does get careless on defense, and, as well as sometimes passes get weird. And yeah, I just think it was a good wake-up call for Luka. Whether they come back and win game five tonight, or whether it's next year, or whether it's just building on his career, game three is always going to be there for people to point at, and for Luka to go back and look at. And because I imagine, like, if he stops complaining after every call and then he goes back and watches current Luka tape, he'll be like, oh, I was kind of ridiculous. I mean, why was I crying after every single shot? I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, actually, to me, I think that's the best take out of this. Like, what's the biggest, most lasting take that's going to come from this? I mean, we're talking about a 3-0, now 3-1 series that, you know, statistically there's no chance for coming back from. But, like, what does this do to Luka? And after game three, I recorded a show with my friend Kaz, and we were just talking, like, how does he come back in game four? Was really the only thing we wanted to know. Is Luka's a big, big, big presence in the league. He's going to be fighting for championships the rest of the way, probably. And is he this guy after game three? I mean, there was just stuff like he's covering Sam Hauser in the corner. He's standing probably within 2 feet of Sam Hauser, you know, because that's Sam Hauser. If he catches the ball, it's probably going in for 3 points. And he's just kind of staring at the ball right ahead of him, you know, on the strong side of the court. So, you know, just one pass away from Sam Hauser, he's staring at the ball. And it's like they see him kind of staring off into the distance and flipping on over to Hauser. And lo and behold, Hauser makes a three. And it's like, you had one job there, Luka. What were you doing? And it's like, clearly he was in his own head, probably pissed off at the refs. And bam, your team, just because of your own anger, your team is now let down. And so that was what we wanted to kind of see. Is there a bounce back here from such a great competitor? And then we did see that in game four, so that was great. One of the other things that we saw in game three that continued to play out into game four is Kyrie Irving showed up. So that was good. Obviously, you know, you expected that to happen. I didn't think it was likely that he would go three games that went bad. But then... you know, no Luka really showing up in that game. And what was really interesting is they actually try to come back in the fourth quarter, and then Luka fouls out, and it was too much for Dallas to overcome. But the energy that those guys played with, it was like their wet blanket had gotten taken off the floor, and it was really weird to watch because I don't think they really view Luka that way, you know, internally or anything. But they were really trying, and they were within 3 points. And you know, just a bad foul call from really, you know, having a different outcome in this series. But then they can't pull it off, and then they lose game three. How much of the energy that you saw out of those guys late, do you think that translated to game four?
Do you mean Dallas's energy?
Dallas's energy, yeah, like with these guys coming out in the fourth quarter and fighting back, and
they fought back until Luka went out. When Luka went out, it was over. And I think every single player on the Mavericks knows they need Luka if they're going to win anything. But like to your point, we've seen a sort of a resurgence of Tim Hardaway Jr., and, you know, he was 0 for 5 in 19 minutes in game three, and he was 0 for the series before that, but I didn't hear anybody destroying Tim Hardaway or blaming him for the reason that Dallas hasn't won anything yet. Luka had 27, 6-6 in that game three loss before he fouled out, and Kyrie had 35. But, I don't know the answer to that. I guess it makes sense that some of their energy carried over from game three to game four. I think it was just the, I think Dallas was finally just like, look, everything that could have gone wrong in game three went wrong. Let's just go out here and play tonight. And Luka probably said, I'm going to be better on defense and I'm going to do a better job tonight. And they were just more fundamentally sound and really just buried the Celtics by halftime. And now on to game five we go, which is the real test as to whether or not anything about game four was real. It is, can Dallas do it again, or at least hang in there and make it a game? Because if Dallas wins game five, I think it's probably going to game seven. Whoever wins tonight, whoever wins game five usually wins the series regardless, but not when they're down 3-1 going into game five. I don't know. It feels like if there was ever a team that could do this, it might be Luka and Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of watching this one. I got a lot on Dallas, so I'm just kind of watching this one, you know, with a little Cheshire Cat smile on my face. Like, I mean, I don't care because I know it's 3-0 and there's no chance. But, you know, yeah, maybe we'll just watch another basketball game and see what happens here. They outscored Boston 29-21 in that fourth quarter of game three. And I think, like, Derek Lively really played big in that game. Josh Green hit a huge three down the stretch of that game. And then, heading into game four, you basically just saw a complete annihilation. And before we get into that, real quick, if you guys are enjoying the show or you're supporters of the show, go ahead and subscribe on all of your favorite platforms. Hit the like buttons. Hit us with the 5-star reviews. All of this helps us, basically build out this platform and get you guys more stuff. So thanks for listening to that. As we look into game five here, as we look at game four, you know, we saw that continuation of good play from Derek Lively. You know, there's been some momentum, you know, in sort of media circles to give Derek Lively basically as many minutes as he can handle. Daniel Gafford, I don't know that he's played really badly. He had some big mistakes early in the first quarter of game four, and they just yanked him. Jason Kidd just pulled him out and brought Derek Lively in. Lively only played 22 minutes in game four, so his minutes were down because of the blowout, more or less. But, you know, a lot of momentum for Lively and Josh Green to get more minutes, and Hardy to essentially not get as many minutes, and then not even be in the rotation, and Gafford to get, you know, sort of cut out. So maybe they found something with Lively. Lively hit a corner three. Everybody's real excited about that. The kid's played great. You know, I think he's 20 years old now. Youngest player in NBA history to hit a three, I think, in the finals. So you're starting to see the outlines of something that might be able to work for Dallas. Of course, play better is the best theory. Luka did that. Kyrie had another big game. And what's really interesting, those two kind of, is this a Kristaps Porzingis isn't their thing? And I'm having a hard time believing that, because Porzingis really hasn't played in this series. So it feels like to weigh the play of Luka and Kyrie against Kristaps not being there in the lane, it seems like there's not enough minutes to really say that that's true, but it doesn't look like Kristaps Porzingis is going to be giving Boston much, and that Kyrie and Luka can possibly recreate what they did in game four, which is really for Kyrie put his head down and go and stop being passive. And for Luka, I mean, he scored 29 points in the last game, but 0 for 8 threes, I look at that as a great sign. He's not going to go 0 for 8 in the next one. He might go 6 for 8 in the next one. So Kyrie back to Boston, Luka possibly ready for a heater. What do you expect out of these guys in game five?
Well, I think Kristaps Porzingis is possibly the most overrated player in this series, because, first of all, we haven't seen him since April, right? Was it April or was it March? Yeah, I think it was the end of April. Last time he played before the series. And then he's hurt, and he's not even sure if he can play. And then he comes out in game one and just goes nuts. Like, that was a fluke. That is not going to happen again. And now he's hurt. He didn't play in the last game. And he's going to try to play in game five, but albeit on one leg, I just don't think he's going to be a huge factor. Again, I give him a ton of credit for what he did in game one, But again, I just feel like that was a fluke. He's not going to come out here and do that for the whole series. Boston knows they can't count on it. I don't think Dallas is really scared of him going out there and going nuts just because he did it once. Doesn't mean he can do it again. So I don't think it's, I just don't think he's that much of a factor. And a lot of people like to throw his name around. I do think Dante Exum is out of the rotation. He's done. Josh Green and Tim Hardaway Jr. are probably going to play some minutes off the bench again. But really, it's going to, I mean, this game is all going to come down to Luka and Kyrie dealing with Tatum, Jrue, and Jaylen Brown. And outside of those guys, I mean, it could be Sam Hauser. It could be Derek Lively. It could be, who's the point guard? Peyton Pritchard. Could be any of these guys that really goes crazy off a bench and makes a big difference in this game. But the only thing we know for sure is that Kyrie and Luka are going to try to outplay Tatum and Brown. And, you know, whoever plays the best out of those two duos is probably going to win the game.
What I thought was really interesting is that it doesn't appear that Jrue Holiday can cover Kyrie Irving in one-on-one with that much space. So whether they're going to pinch or dig or whatever they might try to do, maybe Boston comes in and says, you know what, Kyrie's getting a little too hot. Let's put more attention on him, because they were basically singling him up with Jrue Holiday. And Kyrie, just a little too crafty and quick. Jrue Holiday looks like he's in the best shape of his career, it feels like. So it's really a compliment to Kyrie to say that he can do that. But, you know, one of the things that I think they learned in game three and then especially in game four is that for them to win, Dallas, that is, Kyrie has to be just a dynamic defense-bending scorer. He has to take shots aggressively. He can't just look to get other guys involved. He's got to get to the cup and, you know, really put Boston on their heels. So I think that's going to be bode well for Dallas in that equation you're talking about, the two stars versus the two stars. And then on the other side, you know, Derek Jones Jr. has not really been good in this series, and theoretically he should be a guy that against Tatum and against Brown should have a little bit more utility, and we just haven't seen it. So that's another place where I wonder if Dallas might try to go away. And I don't know how they feel about Maxi Kleber. You know, if Kleber could get his wind and his legs underneath him and then also be willing to shoot threes, that could help some of the math problem that Dallas is facing right now. You know, Boston just chucking up threes constantly, you know, and that's the thing probably, you know, I think you alluded to earlier, is that it's these three-pointers that Boston's going to come reigning with. And in Boston, those threes are almost worth four sometimes. And how does Dallas hold up if Boston starts raining? Because that just gets teams all rattled. And being on the road in an elimination game, whether Luka is losing his mind or not, you got the other guys to worry about whether they can play well and can they stop that three-point shot. But, you know, up and down the Dallas rotation, Derek Jones Jr. not getting it done. Can you get something from Maxi Kleber? One interesting note, P.J. Washington only played 14 minutes last game. I'm not sure that he's a guy that needs a whole lot of rest. But, you know, he's one of the most versatile players on this Dallas team. And for him to be able to cover Jaylen Brown especially, but Jason Tatum as well, and be effective, I think that's a little bonus, you know, for Dallas, that he's going to essentially come in with the freshest legs that he's had in a while. He got into foul trouble last game and then really just didn't need to play. So some interesting puzzle pieces here for Dallas. What are you, I guess, to kind of close out here, are you looking at any major adjustment that you might see in game five? Are you looking for an adjustment, or what do you foresee happening in game five?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I foresee Dallas trying to run the same offense and defense they ran in Game 4, and I expect to see Boston revert back to what they were doing in Games 1, 2, and 3, although I'm not sure it's that different from what they did in Game 4. One thing I think is going to be interesting is I really thought that the Boston crowd, when they were screaming at Luka and Kyrie, I kind of thought that they were going to almost suck that up as like energy pills and feed off the anger and the vileness coming their way from those fans. But it actually seemed like the Celtics crowd was intimidating those guys a little bit and getting in their heads, where now that Luka's had his, you know, come to Jesus moment after Game 3, and Dallas got the big blowout easy win in Game 4, and they're not supposed to be here, and this series is all but over, and we have nothing to play for except to go out there and have fun and try to shock the world. Maybe it'll be in Game 5 where they take the Boston crowd energy and utilize it for good. But as far as any major, change in strategy for either team, I don't think is going to happen, because, like I said, this thing all comes down to Luka and Kyrie versus Jaylen and Tatum, with a splash of MVP Drew Holiday thrown in there.
This series is funny, because it's really vexing certain like stat guys, and I'm not trying to use that as an insult. I'm saying there's guys out there that always go to the Basketball Reference and they try to calculate whatever, like, you know, how many points has an NBA champion lost by, you know, what's the max amount of points they've lost by, and I believe this is never happened before, that an NBA champion has lost by, oh, what was it, like 36 points in Game 4. So, you know, people are looking at this series and kind of just like they want to declare it done. I think everybody has declared it done, but there's this little vibe, right, that Boston, we've seen them in the past lose their edge, you know, and kind of crumble in real time. And with Dallas, we haven't seen the blood dripping from Kyrie's mouth and Luka's mouth as they're yelling at the Boston crowd, but we know that that's in there. And they just come off this major win. And if there was ever a way for this 3-0 to go 4-3 in Dallas's favor, you would need that kind of a team like Boston, who's crumbled in the past. You'd need some kind of crazed, you know, battle-tested duo like Luka and Kyrie. Maybe, you know, even adding the element of Kyrie going back to his old team. It's just all these factors that you would need to come into play to make this a potential, you know, spot where a 3-0 could lose. Everybody's just sort of tap dancing around the possibility of it. And if they were to win in Boston, absolutely, I think people would be getting ready for a Game 7 back in Boston, which that would be fascinating. That would be phenomenal. I hope we see that. Shout at me if you want to say anything else, Steve, but I'm going to get us out of here. So while we'll be talking about the Phoenix Suns, and that should be interesting. So a lot of stuff going on in Phoenix that's suboptimal, and all sorts of tinfoil hat stuff that you could put your tinfoil hat on and wonder what might be happening with Kevin Durant. So we'll do that tomorrow. If you enjoy the show and support what we're doing over here, consider liking and subscribing to the show on all of your favorite platforms. Follow us at Aaron Brewski, at Dr. A. And then our news accounts at Ethos Fantasy NBA, at Ethos Fantasy NFL, and at Ethos Fantasy BB. You get the blurb feed there, which is the best free content in the industry today. You get to stay aware of all the promo stuff, including deals on the NFL draft guide, which is either getting released today or tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. Look out for deals on the All Sport. It's basically getting you behind the paywall in all major sports and doing so for like half the cost of what it will be in a year. And you get to keep that rate for life as long as you keep your membership active. So check that out. Follow those accounts and you'll keep up to date on all of that. Big thank you to Steve, our producer, Andre Lemos. And most importantly, you guys, thank you for making Sports Ethos everything it is. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.